trying to do this. You know, welcome back after a little bit more of a prolonged
break. Let's just explain that we had a great summer and then somebody felt the need to remove their wisdom teeth.
Okay, I did not feel the need.
Let's first talk about the summer break. So we went through Denmark, Sweden, Norway.
Oh my god.
I got it right.
No Belgium.
I don't even know why I keep saying Belgium.
Every time, every stop, we're in Belgium now. It's like we never were going to Belgium. I don't understand.
But what a great vacation it was though. Like I think we went via
on people who, you know, had to work or other things.
Oh come on, what do you mean flex? Because everybody have vacation. And really and truly, you know, there are people who look down on van life, you know, and caravan living. Like I was telling somebody how I was so overexcited and telling everybody how great it an experience it was, and how it's like, you know how they have slow food, you have slow travel, and that we're able to really absorb and everything. And the whole time, you know, I think she's getting excited and she's just looking at me like totally blank face. And she said to me, Karen, I'm talking about you.
Oh my God.
And she's like, I'm not doing that because campsites. Because there is this thing with the campsites about the bathrooms and the
which we did experience. Well, I think we had a like, I have to say, and it sounds really awful, like my country and all of that, but like I think we were ski, like, but we weren't at any campsites in Germany, so I guess I can't really say anything.
So we can't compare, but, but the campsites were good. I think 90%. The best for me was Denmark because it was really very easy to find the campsites. You just go online and because we basically did it while we were on the road. We didn't pre-book anything or anything like that. What?
And I was just looking because I remember when I, you know, went to Thailand and that was my plan. I was like, no, I need to know exactly where you are. What do you mean you do? Where do you book it from now? And then like, look and see how we did the whole vacation. And we didn't die, mom.
All right. So as I was saying, I liked the campsite in Denmark. It was really very serene. It was attached to a national park or was considered. The space is declared protected because of the trees.
The art park. You know, you fell in love with and didn't want to.
No
come
man,
out
that's
out.
In Oslo. I'm talking about Denmark.
Oh, okay.
And I really like that campsite because of, you know, there were nobody there to guide you in terms of, you know, because when you go traveling with a caravan, you have to think. You have electricity that you have to hook up, water changes, grey water changes and fill ups and all of that. And we went there and, you know, there was a sign that said, you know, it's basically self-serve. There's a supermarket that was attached to the site that nobody was in there selling. So you had to go in if you wanted something. You basically paid for it in a open jar with the money.
Shout out to the people who own a place. They weren't actually serial killers, even though we all, you know, we're kind of like, okay, this is a perfect place.
No, we can't call the name. I was never thinking it was serial killer life.
No, but okay, let's get off of this whole idea. It was so great. Okay, let us not lie. When we came here, we were like, okay, this seems like a Black Mirror episode waiting to happen. There is nobody else here but us. And this quote-unquote camp experience looks like somebody's front yard. And we're just like, we're going to die here, aren't we? We're not coming out.
I don't agree with that. Yes, it was slight.
No, I will admit afterwards, I enjoyed it. I was glad when I left, but I did enjoy it because, you know, you never know.
You were glad when we left? Why?
Like, in the sense of, okay, let's move on to somewhere else because, like, you know, I don't know, maybe movies have ruined me clearly with that. I'm just like, okay, you know, didn't die
Okay, so, but what I wanted to point out, though, was that we, you know, I like the honest policy thing where they had, where nobody's there to serve you, right? There was even, what was it? There was a yard sale happening.
Yeah.
And there was like, it's a pan. Or a cashier thing where you put your money in and you put your money in and you make your own change and the money was just there. Now I don't want to sound like I'm a thief or anything, but it just felt odd. It just felt like, wow, this is so great because it makes the assumption that we're all honest and we're not gonna go, you know, because they, like I said, they had a supermarket. You know, they sell all kind of little things that you might need, you know, soap or noodles.
Yeah, it really was like a lot of random things.
Right.
Yeah.
But just things that you might need on the road, you know, when you're driving with a caravan. And there was just nobody there. I mean, we met the owner and he was quite nice and just, you know, welcomed us and so on. But outside of that, it was just us.
Yeah.
So I like that. I think it's a great thing to make the assumption that society is honest. And I think that's the thing that stood out, why I feel like Denmark's one was like
the best. So that's like what stood out most for you.
I mean, the campsite.
The campsite. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, obviously, I loved Oslo. I wouldn't say that the campsite in Oslo was the best, but the location was right.
The internet was awful, so that ruined it from the get-go, right?
Wow, there was we were meant to go on this trip.
Yeah, but you can't research places you're gonna go if you don't have Wi-Fi, and then you know, miss the only one who has, you know, for some reason a contract that gives you unlimited internet didn't want to share. That's so not true.
That is so not true. And you have to be careful that lightning will just strike you right now.
Thank God it's not, you know, any kind of weather, you know, hazards today for that.
I felt that the campsite in Denmark was just exceptional. I think it was in the spirit of what I expected, the idyllic experience of what you do when you travel by caravan. So that's what I mean. But Oslo was just kick-ass. Like the campsite itself was subpar.
But I mean, you can at least, the only thing I think I'll give the campsite is that they were located next to a bus station, which could have been coincidence.
Obviously, because I think the whole idea is that, like, you know, you can explore the city. But let us talk about Ekeberg Park. I'm not pronouncing it properly.
Okay,
that's the park in Oslo that's attached. Well, it's not attached, but it's close. It's directly on the campsite.
Where your inner Rufus came out. It's an installation.
It's art.
Oh my God.
It was such an amazing experience because we went through the park, and the park is well over. How big? I don't know. And every step of the way, you know, you have these really big art installations, you know, Salvador Dali, and it's just a really divine experience.
We really enjoyed the art experience.
No, it was a great experience because you had all of these art installations, and for the most part they were interactive. Like you could go, like, you remember that whole thing that we went into?
The first thing was creepy, again pulling into the whole horror story narrative, when you walked in and there's just this, like, it's supposed to be a lantern, but all of a sudden you hear like, and then he left. And it was just like this weird, grim sounds.
I mean, the point of the whole park is to get your senses activated and, in a way, relax and to, like, throw your thoughts out of its regular 9-to-5.
They definitely did that.
How we got to Norway, obviously, like we discussed. Did we say it in the last episode that we went there because of Norsemen?
Because of a Netflix series.
Right. But the thing is, there was a documentary that I watched about art, and this one, The Peeing Woman by Anne Sophie Sens. I'm not saying that correctly. But anyway, so this is sculpture of the woman stooping to, and it's actually peeing. It's motion sensored. So when you go close to it, the woman
will definitely include the video of, you know, you being like, you know, a 5-year-old laughing. And like,
because I think that just shows you the humor and the fantasy of the Norwegians and how they don't take anything seriously. I think it's a great thing to have something like that in the middle of your city. You know, sculptures that, like I said, it rains on your consciousness and it helps you to just jump out of the 9-to-5 box. There's also the, you remember that mist thing that we walked through? The mist, what's that?
That was called Pathfinder.
Right. And the whole point of the entire experience of walking through the park is just to, like, you know, calm down. I think that when societies take care of those needs of humans, you have better quality humans.
Yes, Miss Superior Artist. The world would be better if we had more art.
What is superior about that?
Anyway.
No, because you know that there are studies that show that Norwegians are always coming out on the top 3 happiest people in the world. And I think it's because those are some of the things they pay attention to. And I think it's important. You can look at me all you want. But that's what I think. And so for me, that was like one of the major highlights of the entire trip.
My highlight was definitely the Viking Museum in Bokoi, where they had the Viking villages. You know, that's where they were, you know, filming Norsemen. And that for me was like, I think one of the, like, peak. I don't know why. I was just like so happy and so excited that day because actually they had it closed. And the lady, she gave us, first of all, like, shout out to her, she was so nice. She gave us a free entry into the museum and let us like look at everything and was like talking to us, and it was just, and then she gave us a poster which I'm going to either hang up in my room or, like, you know, downstairs. Yeah, that was great. And I have to say the scenery, that's definitely, I couldn't pinpoint which exact scenery because like Norway was just like every step of the way, it was another like, what?
Yes.
Wow moment.
I think it really, I was going to go ahead and say I was shocked.
I
was shocked because, you know, I feel like Jamaica is the prettiest country in the world, obviously. But
I discovered, we have to admit it's
I discovered that second place.
For me,
no, I think that there's all kinds of beauty. There really is when it comes down to landscapes, and Norway is just breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. And in terms of the waterfalls, the fjords, the serenity of the entire country that we got to saw, and we get to see, and we didn't even get to see
the north.
Yeah, like we didn't go so far up north.
So yeah, that definitely, you know, wraps up where we were the majority of the time while there was no podcast, where right. We were, you know, in and out. And then, you know, we wanted to fit tape on the boat, but you know, that sadly didn't work out.
Yes,
I won't say who.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I mean, I'm okay to own it up to that. So
somebody nearly got
back,
you know, a barf moment on the
boat. Took this ferry back from Norway to, no, it was from Sweden.
Yes.
To,
no, it was from Norway.
From Norway to
Denmark.
Denmark.
Yeah.
And yeah, the boat was just overwhelming. But then, to be honest, I had breakfast in the morning when you all were just like, I don't want anything to eat. I was doing the right and proper thing of having breakfast.
And who ended up nearly barfing?
I didn't vomit, but it was really,
as I said,
unsettling.
And then, you know, the funniest thing was when we were driving in and then the guy was like checking basically us and the camper in, and he was like, y'all want some, you know, seasickness tablets?
Yeah, so,
and then, you know,
random.
Hear this one in the back. Yes, yes. We don't need it. We don't need it. And then, you know, look who ended up at the end. Was, I don't feel so good. I can't stand. I don't feel so good.
Yeah, but
like,
let's talk about how he was just giving our tablet. Like,
yeah,
pills.
That was so sketchy. Like,
yes.
He just literally gave us two pills. Like, no, not even packaged or anything.
Not,
just literally two dry pills. Just like, here,
that
take
was,
that.
That was kind of random.
Yeah. But it was very, like, Norway, the people, I have to say, I do miss it some days when I'm, like, in the train going, you know, on the road. I'm just like,
so
if I could, I would.
So let's talk about the fact that we didn't put up a podcast for September because you decided to take your wisdom teeth.
I did not decide
out.
To get a wisdom teeth. I actually, for, you know, put things on, you know, on the record, I got like my tooth pain and a full blown infection throughout the whole experience. I was having tooth pain that, like, I've been having tooth pain since a while. That's a whole thing anyway, basically, as I thought, which my dentist did not make aware
okay,
of.
Okay, we're
me.
Not going to use a podcast to bitch again about the dentist.
I'm still
all
looking.
Right?
So if
bottom
you know,
line,
yeah.
She took her
wisdom
teeth
all
out.
Four. They were mad big, so I've been recovering since, but now the cheeks
all
have
is well
deflated.
And on its way to even being more.
Okay, thanks for cutting me off. It's like I can't even speak my side.
All right,
know.
What we want to talk about, right, is this Netflix documentary that was done by Chelsea Handler.
Which is basically something, you know, we didn't get to get while it was hot. So it was stuff we missed. Just basically
right, because we're on the road, right? And the title of it is?
It's High
White
Privilege, It's Me, Chelsea.
Right. And she basically goes through, it's an hour long. To be very honest, I was hoping that, you know, I was going to get a conversation by a female white comedian with other white,
you know, white people talking about white privilege.
Exactly. I was just very put off by the idea that, you know, there were so many black people who were basically explaining white privilege to her, which in and of itself, you know, just tells
defeats
you
the purpose.
Yeah, and it reinforces the point that that's what white privilege is. I found the series to be just very tiresome and very,
that's the thing, it's not even a series, it was just for
yeah,
me,
the documentary,
yeah, because for me it felt more like a minor biography of what happened in her life, where she was talking about, you know, the guy she was with and how she got pregnant by him and yet she got an
which
aborted.
Was in itself so very, I find her story about her relationship with this guy who she just, you know, never waste any time in letting us know that he was selling drugs and he was always being pulled over by the police, and how she would always get, you know, released and get away because, you know, obviously, you know, she's a white woman, so therefore nobody's going to arrest her for drugs, right? I think she used his story to tell to further explain to us what white privilege is. And I when I say us, I'm not even saying black people. It's like, who was her audience? I'm not sure
who she was preaching to.
Is our audience, because she had these black professionals, black activists who were interspersed throughout, you know, talking about it, which they gave very good insights into it. But the one opportunity that she had, in my view, to talk about it was at when she, that section where she talked to some women from
some other white girls. Yeah,
from in, you know, I don't even know where, somewhere in so, California. It's in California, yeah. Right? And the responses of all these women, you know, were just so tone deaf and just ignorance. It was infuriating. It actually was.
I found it more interesting, like, the fact that, first of all, I personally feel documentary should either give you information or, like, spark something. But for me, after that, I felt like, okay, so that happened, and, like, it's not changing anything in the cause. Nothing was, you know, said that hadn't been said before. It was just kind of like regurgitating what was going on. But, like, it didn't really do anything. And the
But that's the point, you know, in the mere fact that she got the opportunity. There are so many comedians and so many, you know, people who, I feel, you know, her getting this opportunity to be able to have a documentary like this on Netflix is in and of itself white privilege, because, you know, she never offered anything to the culture. Like I said before, I don't know that her audience, who is she talking to? Like, who is she trying to explain white privilege to? Because throughout the entire thing, it was the activists who were the ones who were, you know, giving a kind of context to what it means and why it is that, you know, it needs to be addressed. And they kept saying, quite a few of them mentioned that, look, it is a discussion that needs to be had among white people.
Yeah,
and even when she got the opportunity to do that with these women, right, she met these women in the backyard in some middle-class area in California. All of these women were just simply just
denying it.
Yeah.
And then, like, well, you know, what was the excuse? They get, you know, advantages when they get to go in colleges and stuff. And then she just kind of, like, left it at that. And normally,
and
she always
didn't question it.
Yeah,
in
and
any
she
way.
Normally seems like somebody who always, like, gives content, like, always have something to add on or to say. And then, like, in this point, in that most crucial point of the whole documentary, I think that's when people were like, okay, like, we're tuned in and, like, wanted to hear what was gonna be said. Like, it was just left at that, and then it never came back to it.
No,
at all.
And she gets away with, I think, well, she didn't, because you remember the first part of the documentary, she goes to, I think it's a university campus where,
oh, yeah, and the students.
And the students just call her out, because I don't know if people know it, because I didn't know that she had written a book some time ago called Uganda Be Kidding Me. So it's a play on the word Uganda, and she's posing quite, you know, luxuriously in front of an elephant. And it was just a disrespectful title to give. And she, to her credit though, she did address it, and she did, you know, call her own self out and said, you know, that was really disgusting that she chose that title. And that in and of itself is, for her, how, you know, dumb she was back then in terms of not being aware of her privilege.
Yeah, but then again, like, isn't the book still out there? The title hasn't been changed. She still made money off of the book. So, like, I don't know, you know. So kind of one of this whole, when people apologize, does it really change the situation? No. And by her doing this thing, has she gained awareness? Has she changed something? No. Right? Like, I think when we were watching it, you made the point, and I agree with you fully. There was one guy who, he's been doing work in the whole, you know, getting, like, kind of like trying to get rid of racism and, like, you know, kind of clearing up the whole thing. And he's white, and that you said, like, it would have been interesting if she had brought him to that conversation with the other white people. So basically have white people explain to other white people what's going on, right?
And
like, kind of like debunk their own statements and stuff, because you can't just leave something like that. And basically, like, that is in of itself just showing how white privilege is. They could just like sit there in their backyard, deny that it exists, and like, yeah, but, you know, they have privilege as well, which I don't deny. We had a whole conversation about them having, like, you know, black people also having privilege, but them not, you know, admitting that they have privileges in other areas that, you know, other people would never have.
I think too, you know, we are at the tipping point, and I keep hearing myself saying that, but we are at the tipping point in culture, you know, whereby, you know, black, like, I was at this symposium some weeks ago where we're talking about how should writers protest. And I was making the point, and you know, there were sort of other people there who were also making the point that it is amazing to see how Black writers and Black poets have this enormous burden of always having to speak to racism and speak to, you know, the oppressions and the all the attendant vagaries of living in as a Black person on earth. Whereas white writers, white poets just get away with this, you know, talking about the details of a snowflake or the details of a leaf. You know, they never get to confront, and there is this discussion about, oh, you know, it's okay to do that because, you know, they don't want to interject themselves in the conversation about racism, as if to say that racism has to do with only Black people. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think Chelsea Handler had such a big audience with the documentary. She could have done so much for her cause because she doesn't need any Black person there to discuss with her what privilege. She needs to go into the homes and the communities of predominantly white people and begin to ask the questions like, why is it that we are not embarrassed and shocked at our race for doing, you know, all of the atrocities in the past, but more so living it even still today?
I just
feel that it's a reckoning that white people have not gotten the opportunity to do, at least not, I shouldn't say all, because I've been lucky to come into contact with
woke white people.
Yeah, you know, people who are, they're self-aware and they're aware of how they move through the spaces on earth, how they are perceived, and they work at leveling it out. I think the documentary was not well done. It was not weak, serious.
It wasn't,
and
like,
in a way, it exploited, I feel it exploited the women and men who, the Black women and men who were participating in it, in that, you know, like I said, they don't need to have a conversation about it. They've been living it. It's her job, if she's really serious about questioning that whole thing, to go off and have the conversations with people that look like her, and you know, begin to chart a new course for that for their race.
Yeah. So that was a fail, I think.
Yeah, but I guess maybe we are bigger fails for having watched it and now talking about it. Are we giving our...
I didn't want to watch it. Someone was like, come, let's watch something. And then I was like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, but look, I think, all right, I want to be as fair to her, though. The fact that she's even willing to engage it. Maybe this is just the beginning of a flood. Exactly. Perhaps another...
That's true.
Another white entertainer / writer / commentator or whatever will take it on in a more comprehensive way. Because I do feel that in order for this thing to level out, it really takes the white race to get on board and deal.
It is their problem, so
yeah,
it's their thing to get, you know, with. Hopefully this doesn't, you know, I guess, scare people into not doing anything to change it. Okay, so in other news, in German news, we all know what occurred a couple of days ago. So this happened in Sachsen-Anhalt, which is basically like East Germany.
You see, that's the thing too. Can I just say, we had the reunification holiday, when was it, last Thursday? Where they noted, you know, that Germany is, because they celebrated every year. When the unification of West and East Germany, and that what you just said a while ago about Sachsen-Anhalt
being in the East,
being relatively in the East, I think that's the problem. That's a problem in itself when I hear people here talk about West Germany and East Germany, because I think that there needs to come a point where it's no longer East and West, like it's Germany, and I think perhaps that's why East Germans, you know, this whole thing with the AfD and the aggression, and they don't feel like they belong and so on. Like, the language needs to change, because language and wording is very powerful.
Okay, I just meant it geographically. It's in the East.
Okay.
But thanks for that.
But
know,
when
quick,
the place was
quick
a literal
history tour, I
no,
get
but,
it.
No, but when
yes,
it was
I
a
know.
Literal country that was in, I mean, it was sectioned off like that. Yeah. Anyway, go on.
So yeah, it was a whole ordeal. Honestly, I think I first found out about it like a day after in schools, when like some we were talking about it, and it's just off basically classified as a terrorist attack. But
why
do
you say classified?
It
was
as a neo-Nazi, because that's not normally typical for, you know,
So again, this is a way for I guess you can call it quote unquote development growth.
Yeah, for sure.
Because because normally when I act like that happens, once it's somebody who is not Caucasian, yeah, it's, and it's terrorism. A right activist.
Yeah, exactly. If it's not, so, and this is like right activist. Basically, he tried to get into the synagogue. He failed. He shot a pedestrian and then proceeded to go to, which I just found so idiotic, to a Dönerladen to go and shoot people there, which is like, his goal was to kill, you know, Jews front right, like first of all, but also just, you know, quote unquote non-Germans, which is like within itself kind of like a statement, because you can't really classify what's a German, what's not. If you're born here, you're considered a German. And also, Germans also go to Dönerladen, like, you know, places where they buy the kebab shops. That's what it's in English. And then he proceeded to basically drive away, ended up hitting a truck.
An accident.
And then the police caught him.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that, you know, people who are in charge of, like, Saxon-Anhalt, that, you know, they said that, you know, they promised that nothing like this will happen again, which is a broad statement, which I feel like you can't really promise something like that, as awful as it sounds. Because you can promise that you're not going to do something like that, but you don't know, you know, people doing, people are like that everywhere, sadly. But what I found more interesting is actually reading up on it, that they have people in Saxon-Anhalt, like undercover groups who are in Germany, hating, planning things. And it's just in the 21st century, and Germany's history, that they still have things like this is ridiculous. And of course, you know, I think we can both say, like, my heart goes out to all the families who've, you know, lost.
There were some persons that were injured.
There's some people who are injured. Only two people died.
But what stood out for me was that this person who did this was 26 years old. And I was thinking, at 26, you have those ideologies and that you are so incensed about it that you're really literally wanting to take up arms. I think that's depressing, that a 26-year-old person is not, because, you know, they always say it's the younger generation is going to change things for the better.
Yeah.
But also, I think what is happening is that people are not, I don't think that people are aware of their history enough. Because
that's
if
the
you
thing,
knew
I think it's weird to
what,
see that
what happened.
Germany.
Yeah, but no, when I'm saying this to you, I'm saying this in reference to people who are like Holocaust deniers and so on. If you really do the research, I don't know how you can in God's name think this is, you know, it didn't happen. Like who it's like, it makes no sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for this young man to have just gone off the rails. And again, you know, I don't want to say gone off the rails, because whenever somebody does something like this and he's white, it's generally, oh, he's a lone wolf, and you know,
that's a thing that it's definitely,
I
not
like
that,
the way the media here dealt with it. It's like, you know, it's a terrorist act. It's not no lone wolf thing where, you know, he's doing something that is of any value. And I just it's a very depressing thought that when you think of somebody who is 26 years old not being aware enough of the history to want to go and commit such a crime.
Heinous act. This is just like, he's basically in jail now, hopefully for the rest of his life or whenever, however long that's gonna be.
But I mean, I think it puts a very damp, it puts a damper on, obviously, the set, because it was a Jewish holiday. It was being celebrated. So
it was very targeted.
Yes, and planned out. You know, it's a rough thing to live in a country and then you have to always be thinking all the damn time, you know, watch your back.
Yeah. But especially, like, as much as, you know, you before with your whole thing with the whole East and West, it is so that, you know, in the East, not saying that there are not any people at all, like, you know, in Berlin or, like, North Germany or in the South, but, you know, it's often something I kind of, like, known for a lot of people, like, as you said, it is a language thing where people do say, you know, tend to say ignorant things, but it's, if you just look at how the German votings went the last time, you can see
they're more in the eastern section of Germany. There are more persons who are, you know, that voted for the AfD. But I think there, like, that, remember that episode we did with you guys when the voting happened,
yeah,
and we discussed the whole business of how you have to bring light to dark. You have to give them an opportunity to speak so they can, you can see the foolishness. You can cancel the foolishness. But if they stay in the dark, right?
Stay dark, yeah.
But I think now more people are energized to wipe out the foolishness.
Well, definitely to the end of, you know, that topic, our condolences to the family, and I hope that, you know, the people who are in recovery get well soon. So for our last topic, we're following up on the whole NFL thing with Jay-Z and Jay-Z, somehow Rihanna is in it.
I came across an article recently where Rihanna was quoted as saying, and this is what she said, she's regarding the NFL, because as you know, the NFL joined forces with Jay-Z, or should we say Jay-Z joined forces with the NFL and became their bitch. Make the NFL halftime show more inclusive, or I don't even know, because I don't know if you saw that they included, they showed the lineup, and it's going to be Jennifer Lopez and
Shakira
who are going to be performing at the halftime show. And the people in Miami, because that's where it's going to be, are really upset, because they're like, so Miami have a lot of black performers, why not have a black performer if you may, you know, the show is meant to be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Considering that Jay-Z is the person who is doing the whole thing, I'm assuming that's him anyway. You know, it's kind of odd. Again, following up on the whole point that Jay-Z is
what you want to repeat it again?
No, I'm not gonna repeat. But I wanted to read though what Rihanna's, and I feel good for Rihanna that she took this stand. I won't say that, you know, because I don't stand for none of them people here anyway. But I think her stand on it is admirable. You know, so apparently she had been asked to do the Super Bowl and she did not do it,
and she's busy with Fenty Beauty and everything else
and her lingerie line. And her comments were, I'm going to read, she says, I couldn't dare do it. Who gains from that? Not my people. I just couldn't be a sellout. I couldn't be an enabler. There's things within that organization that I do not agree with at all. And I was not about to go and be of service to them in any way. Yeah. Mic drop.
That was said so unspectacular. Like, mic drop.
No, but I think I have to respect her for taking that stance. And I mean, the underlying thing with it, what she's saying, but not really saying, is that Jay-Z is a coon, a sellout, and he's become their bitch. Yeah.
What a way to read between the lines.
No, but seriously though, I don't think there's, you know, I don't think she wants to say Jay-Z is all of that.
Yeah.
But just reading the statement, knowing the dynamics of the situation,
what had happened.
Exactly. You know, she's basically calling him out. And, you know, I find it so insidious and just really creepy the way how so many of the celebrities, they see the fuckery. You know, did I just say fuckery?
Yeah, so what's wrong?
This
is not a PG channel, mom.
No, I just, as long time I don't curse.
My God, stop acting all, you know, what the hell? Oh, matron, I have no curse in social media.
I don't want to curse. I want to be a good mom in,
whatever, yeah. Whatever, that time has passed. It's over, remember?
No, but I think that the NFL really, they did what they think that they needed to do, which is to include a black man. And Jay-Z signed on to it because somehow he feel like, you know, this is going to make him become this great big icon that, you know, he thinks himself to be. And I think time will tell, you know, how the whole thing will pan out. But respect to Rihanna for putting her foot down and say, look, I'm not participating in that. The whole organization is like a plantation, you know? So
okay.
that's what I have to say on that.
It's like shots fired there, but okay.
Shots fired to who though?
Oh my God, you sound so tired. It's like, okay. Well, I guess this is going to be it for this month's podcast.
Yes, I mean, we're going to be doing some episodes to catch up for not having made one for August and September.
Okay, stop looking at me like it was my fault, right? Right?
Yes, the wisdom teeth situation.
I don't think anybody would have wanted to listen to that, and I couldn't speak longer than, you know, two sentences.
Anyway, obviously, I don't mean it, Inya, and obviously, we're going to just simply try to see how much we can
So thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow us on all our social medias, which is Facebook, SoundCloud, and also Twitter.
And soon also to come iTunes.
iTunes, yeah, sure, for the Apple listeners. Yeah. So
was there. No, well, people can listen to this on Facebook.
Yeah, well, no, they get the link is on Facebook, Mom. We've been doing this now for a couple of episodes. You should be knowing how this works, right? Anyway, as saying, look out into the future.
Stop judging
Maybe
me.
Some new things are coming. We have some things planned. And yeah, I hope you all have, you know, a great October.
Right.
Keep yourselves, you know, hydrated and, you know, warm, because the weather be sketchy and schizophrenic these days. So yeah.
I think the weather is really nice. I'm learning to love
October. Okay, I'm not talking about the weather. So, bye, guys.